with you, and then look at the scriptures, and then spend some time tonight interceding for folks who have needs. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of the hour, for the opportunity that we have this evening to be together with the Bibles open. And we pray, dear Lord, that you might use your word, as always you do, to not only instruct and teach, but to inspire us. And we pray, dear Lord, that we might again be people who are folks committed to you, committed to the word, and certainly exercise our faith, at least in prayer, during the course of the week. We ask now for your help to understand what we shall see in the word. And Lord, even in those special little blessings that you send our way, that are inaudible expressions of your divine impression upon hearts, we pray, dear Lord, that you would grant a great amount of that tonight to each according to their need. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been continuing along with something that was said in Ezra about seeking a right way for themselves and their little ones. And last week we pointed out to you that according to Psalm 23, verse 3, that the shepherd, our great shepherd, leads in paths of righteousness. And we also talked about the testimony of a son for his father, Solomon for David. And his testimony was that David walked in righteousness. And so we want to take a look at the right way to go. And in there with a subtitle along each of these lines. We had you look last week at Psalm 5 and verse 8. We also wove into that Psalm 27:11 and Psalm 143:10. I would like to have you look at that 143 passage again to begin this evening. Psalm 143, where these expressions are made for our edification concerning the right way. When we read Psalm 5 and verse 8, it talked about a straight way. And we believe that to be, according to the word, that which is the right way. It's a pleasant way. It's a plain way. When we come to Psalm 143, and we look at verse number 10, we see again the same word or the used, but with a different rendering in English. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Lead me into the land of uprightness. That's something that you see in Psalm 27 and verse 11 as the plain path, a level path, no obstruction, very smooth. It's the right way. So you have a straight way, uprightness, plain and level. And I would also point out to you that in Psalm 5 and Psalm 27 and Psalm 143, all three of these passages are prayers. All three passages are prayers. And I would draw from that this conclusion that it's pretty much impossible to be on the right way and on the right path and be prayerless. It's virtually impossible. Prayerlessness will lead in all cases to frustration. Renders the individual totally unable to cope with a myriad of circumstances that crowd in upon every life from a variety of directions every day. Things that will weight the heart down and pull the individual off the track, out of the way. And so we want to make sure that we stay on that level path and keep in mind the necessity of prayer. Now, something else we find out about this right way in Isaiah chapter 30, if you will look there tonight. Isaiah 30. I want to just look at the 21st verse, but examine it in its larger context for a bit of contrast. In verse number 21, it says, "Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way. Walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. This is the way." It sort of echoes something that we find way back in Joshua's account, in Joshua chapter 1, where God sets the way, the right way, and He says, "Turn not to the right nor to the left. Stay on the way." In this particular passage, see the contrast back in the first verse of the chapter. Obviously, people who've gotten off the right way. Talks about, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." Now, how is it that you take counsel of God? Well, A, you read the scriptures primarily, and B, you pray. And you don't move a foot, so to speak, until you have peace in the heart that according to what you read in the scripture and the impressions in your heart coincide. Because God will never take you in two different ways. Say one thing in His Word and impress on your heart something else when you pray. They'll always be consistent. He says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." Now, what you have there is an instance cited, one among many, in the history of Israel, where rather than seek counsel from God, either consulting the law or seeking counsel via a priest at the throne of God, when in time of need, they turned their back on God and resorted to any comfort and help they might get at the hands of men, Pharaoh in Egypt, typical of that. So when you look at these places, you come down further to the portion of the chapter number 10 where it says, "They say, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things." When I read that verse, when fast forward into Timothy, where it talks about in the last days there will be those who have itching ears and desire only smooth things to be spoken to them. "Whatever you do, don't tell me anything, even if it's right in the eyes of God, if it's going to be inconvenient to me personally." And so there's the contrast where if you read down through here again, we come to that 21st verse. This is the way. Walk ye in it. So here's, you might say that what Isaiah is putting forth here is a proposition. There's only one way. Only one way. Now there's a passage I'm sure you're familiar with in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. There are two ways talked about there. There's a broad way that leads where? To destruction. And then there's a narrow way that leads where? To life. And so when we talk about the only way, there's life in the right way. You're still in Isaiah. Look at chapter 35. Chapter 35. And verses 8 and 9. "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. So far, the right way may be characterized as a straight way, as a plain way. The right way is seen as an upright way. The right way is the only way. Here in Isaiah 35, it's the holy way. Narrow. Narrow, for sure. But there's where it leads to life. And the unredeemed will not walk there. But it's the only way. Life. If you go back to Psalm 139, and you see it expressed in a different way. Psalm 139, verse 24. And again, it's said in the context of prayer. It's what Psalm 139 is. And by the way, the passage in Isaiah chapter 30 sets against that, where there is no prayer. The three previous passages in Psalms that we looked at were all set in the context of prayer. So here in Psalm 139, verse 24, where the prayer goes up in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The way everlasting is the way of life. The way of life. The way of truth is to be considered in Psalm 25. And if you were to look at the fourth and the fifth verses there, you would see, again, those words set in a surrounding of prayer once again. Prayer. In all of these passages, with that one exception in Isaiah, all of these directions about the right way are couched in prayer. Impossible to be on the right way and be prayerless. Impossible. Here is a prayer. Here is the right way may be said to be level. It may be also said to be the way of life. And it is also to be seen as the way of truth. Now, Jesus said these words. You're familiar with this New Testament correlation as well, John 14:6. I am the way and the truth and the life. Goes right along with what the psalmist said. This is the way of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The word way in John 14:6 is the word road, hodos. It's the only way. It's the right way. It's a narrow way, to be sure. But it leads to life. And it's there that Jesus would have us walk with Him. Now, when we think about His wishes and His desires, we can look at His desires going back to John chapter 1, verse 43, where He's assembling His discipleship team. And His instructions to them are very simple. Follow me. Follow. Consider me that word with me just for a minute. To follow Jesus, some would say, means to be in the same, to be going on the same path. Okay? Following His footprints on the same path. Some would say that and leave it go at that. Now, I will grant that it's better to be following His footprints than not to be on the path at all. But when you examine closer the word follow, not only does it convey the idea of being in that path, the same path that He's on, but be in the same path with Him. There's a difference. To be in the same path with Him. Great picture in John chapter 10, is there not? Where Jesus again says, "My sheep hear my voice. And they follow me." They're in the same path with me. As the relationship is seen in John 10 between a shepherd and his sheep. The sheep won't follow a stranger. Now, of necessity, that means that they must be at least near enough to the shepherd to hear the audible tones of his voice. To follow him means that they've got to be close enough to hear the audible tones of His voice. Now, we have the Bible in our hand today. We don't hear audible voices from God. And I don't know that it would be any upgrade anyway in terms of issuing in compliance to His wishes. But what we do have is the book. And to follow Jesus means to stay in the same path with Him, close enough to hear the audible tones of His voice, so that as you read the Scripture, you're walking close enough in fellowship with Him that the words are clear. They're not just words that you read that pass under the eye and into the proverbial ear and out this side, but they stick to follow Jesus. The sheep follow. They won't follow a stranger. They follow Me. Now, when we think about the right way being a level way and a way of life, it may also be said, simply because of the nature of the word, light. The psalmist said, "The entrance of Thy words giveth light." The entrance of Thy words giveth light. And I've never yet been able to satisfy or be convinced to the contrary. I find it virtually impossible to separate the Word incarnate and the Word inscripturated. I can't separate them. They're not two separate but equal entities. They are one and the same. So that Christ, the Word Himself, He said, "I am the light of the world." His Word is light. They are indivisible components. To fellowship with Christ is to have fellowship with Him through the Word. And it's on the right way. The prophet Isaiah said, "Bring the blind. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will make darkness light before them." Whenever it is that the dark shadows of life circumstances begin to close around you, you may always come here to this book. And the way is lit before you. It may only be light for one step at a time, but there will be the light when necessary, at the time necessary. Always. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me," He's with me now, "he that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The right way, of which Ezra was speaking, by way of application, is level. It's plain. No obstruction. It's a narrow way. It's the way of holiness. But it's also the way of life. It's the only road to be on. And all along the way, there's light. Always light. So let us seek a right way, first for ourselves, and then for our little ones, our children, and those that we have. And don't underestimate the sub-thought underlying all of this. Don't forget it. In all of these passages, except the one in Isaiah, they're all couched in prayer. That's how critical prayer is for the individual and critical for the life and health of a church family. Would you pray with me? Our Father and our God, we thank You for the Scriptures. And we thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that allows us to have understanding. We're thankful, Lord, for that Holy Spirit who allows us to see the truth of the Word through the 16th century nuances of the Elizabethan language. We realize, Lord, that were that not possible, it wouldn't make any difference what language we spoke or what edition we had in our hand. We could not understand. We know that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. But we also know, too, dear Lord, that when by grace you saved us. You took the veil off of us. And now we can see as never before. Now we hear as never before we could. So, Lord, speak loud to us and bring us back frequently for refreshment at your feet in the very Word of God. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.